The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Dana Walsh was a 27-year-old mother of two. She was murdered in August of 2024 by Adam Corcoran, who last week received a mandatory life sentence at Cork Central Criminal Court. I'm joined on the line by Dana's brother, Callum. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you very much for having me on.
You're very welcome. And my deepest sympathies to you and your family on the tragic loss of Dana. She was your older sister, wasn't she? Will you tell us a little bit about the Dana that you remember?
Yeah, so she was my only sister. You know, she was the only daughter of my mother as well. She was a kind, loving person. You know, you couldn't have asked for a better sister, you know. She was well known for her bright coloured hair. You know, her hair would change on a day-to-day basis. Like, one day it could be blue, the next it could be pink, you know. And then it was the nails, the fake tan. She's very fashionable. You know, it's just all that's gone, unfortunately.
Was she... And just as you describe her there, you know, the interest in the hair colour and the nails and the tan, was she an outgoing person?
She was, yeah. She'd always see the best in people. Yeah.
So when then did Adam Corcoran enter the picture? They were together for a number of years, weren't they?
They were. So they were together, I know some articles say 10, but they were actually together for around, it was just coming up to 8 years. And they met through a friend in Wicklow. So I know, as mad as it sounds, you know, someone from Cork meeting someone from Wicklow, but yeah, that's how it is.
Adam was from Cork, was he? Is from Cork.
Yeah, he's from Ballincollig originally.
So tell me about, like, you meeting him, seeing him and Dana together. How did you feel about it back then? Was it a good relationship at the beginning?
At first, you know, as you would normally think, you know, with any relationship, you know, things would start out, you know, just as fine. But then as things got on, you could see the control in him and, you know, just he was very manipulative and just extremely controlling. And then obviously they had moved down to Cork away from her native family in Wicklow. And that's when the things start to get worse, you know, the control.
When did they move to Cork? Because they had children quite soon into the relationship, didn't they?
They did. I think it was probably in and around 7 years ago. So it was pretty soon enough.
So then she's gone from you and your family at that time. So you probably don't know exactly what's going on.
No, we wouldn't know.
But you were aware, or you and your family felt, is it fair to say, uncomfortable about the relationship?
Yeah, we were definitely uncomfortable. You know, that was one of the words you could say anyway. We were definitely uncomfortable.
Were you in touch with Dana at that time?
We were, and then, you know, he would take over, you know, it would either be her social media and control that, so we would sort of lose contact with that.
And would you try to call her or text her or visit her?
We would, yeah.
And what would happen?
He would say, you know, there would always be an excuse, we're not there. That would be him now saying all of this.
So you didn't really get to keep in touch with her over those years, is that fair to say?
No, the last time we were in, she was up in Dunleary on that year of 24, I think it was January or February. We were ice skating in Dunleary. That was the last, you know, physical contact we had with Dana. So
that was the last time you saw her, was it?
It was, yeah.
And how was she, do you think, then?
She seemed, you know, fine and normal at that time, you know. Nothing, you know, you could tell, really.
There were addiction issues in that relationship, though, weren't there, Callum?
There were, yeah. She had sought help, of course, and obviously if you're in the presence of a monster like him, you couldn't get better. Realistically, you couldn't.
Can you tell us a little bit about her attempts to get help? How was she doing on that front? Do you know?
Well, I would have been, you know, quite young enough at that time, but, you know, she went to meetings, you know, I think they're called AA meetings or something, you know, and she was going to them, you know. He was just a very bad influence and brought her down.
I think he said during the trial, didn't he, that they relapsed 2 weeks before her death. So
yeah,
it would seem when her murder happened that they were in the throes of addiction and drug use at that time.
Yeah.
Just going back to August of 2024, can you remember finding out what happened to Dana back then?
Yeah, so I was actually working at the time on that Friday, and there was, as far as I'm concerned, on our camera doorbell, there was two guards that had called to my mother's house, and you know, she got the news then, and then I was told because she had rang me. It's just devastating. It was hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Does everything change then from that moment, Callum?
Yeah, from that day forward, everything, the perspective of life had just changed completely.
Mm-hmm. I saw you said in your statement after the verdict that what happened and what Adam Corcoran did has torn your family apart. Can you explain to me why you said that?
Because it's just, you know, like, there's just no words to describe it, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's horrific what he's done.
He pleaded not guilty, didn't he? And that is something, again, going back to the statement you made outside of the court, you feel angry about that, you feel frustrated about it, understandably, because it means that your family then had to go through the trial.
Yeah, so he pleaded not guilty from the start. The moment he says that in court, our faces just dropped. You know, he couldn't just at that moment accept what he had done. And he made the family go through the entire trial, you know, with all the evidence being given, you know, from the state pathologist, which was the hardest of all.
What was that like for you and for your family, and in particular for your mother?
So when Dr. Yvonne McCarthy was giving her evidence, you know, it became a bit too much after a while, you know, when they're going over all the wounds. Me and my mother, we just had to leave the courtroom because it's just, you couldn't do it. Like, if you were in my shoes, I'm sure you'd understand. Like, it's just absolutely catastrophic. You could not do it.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, reading about the injuries that Dana suffered, it was nothing short of horrific, Callum.
Yeah.
And I can't begin to imagine what it was like to sit in the court and hear those injuries detailed. But did you feel in a way that you owed it to her to be there for every day of that trial?
Yeah, so basically, you know, we were representing Dana. We were getting justice for Dana on a day-to-day basis of that criminal trial. So, you know, we did our best.
Mm-hmm. But among the difficult things to hear was the claim he made that she had taken her own life. And that was the story that he gave to the paramedics at the beginning, to
yeah.
the Gardaí at the beginning. I mean, what did you make of that?
Like, when he had first said that on the stand, we couldn't believe it. Like, to come up with such a lie, you know, in these circumstances, it's just, he tried his very best to get out of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
stating that it was a suicide and these injuries were self-inflicted was just, there's just no words. It's clear, like, it's horror.
But I'm sure when the verdict came in and the mandatory sentence handed down, was there some sense of relief for you and for your
there
family?
There was. Yeah, there was, Claire, because, you know, at last he was being held accountable for what he had done, you know, in law. He murdered someone, you know, he murdered my only sister, an only daughter, a mother, you know,
mm-hmm.
now left, two children left behind now. They're living with us at the moment.
And how are they doing?
Yeah, they're getting on well. You know, obviously they don't know the full extent, obviously, due to their age.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're getting on very well in school and that.
Which is great to hear, and you know, it's wonderful that they're with you and they're with your family. But
yeah.
nothing that you can do or say will change the fact that they have lost their mother. They've lost Dana, haven't they?
They've forever lost the mother for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Adam Corcoran had previous convictions, and you found that out in court once the verdict
yeah.
came in. Do you believe that people should have access to a person's history? We know that Jenny's Law is proposed legislation that will allow people to inquire if a partner has a history of violent offences. Do
right.
you think that that is something that should happen?
I think there should be a register that women can access in this country regarding, you know, convictions about a man or a woman or whatever in this country, because Adam Corcoran in this case had 42 previous convictions. And they weren't small, they were very serious. Things I had never even known about. And I was absolutely devastated when I found out about those in court when Judge Siobhan Langford was, you know, mentioning those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the fact that he was out on bail as well at the time.
And do you think Dana knew about those previous offences?
No, because they were going back. No, I don't think she would have known.
And like, we don't know, you know, we don't know whether that would have changed her view of him or her decision to be with
yeah.
him. But at least, I suppose, from your point of view, having the information is what might make the difference.
Yeah, you could make the decision yourself, you know, considering he was a very dangerous man, you know, violent, of course.
Did he interact with you and your mother at all in the courtroom? Did he look at you?
No interaction with him. He was looking straight down onto the floor.
Mm-hmm. Even when the verdict was called out, when he was sentenced, nothing.
Yeah, looked straight down onto the floor. Even when I was up at the stand talking or saying my witness or my victim impact statement, there was just nothing out of him, just looking down at the floor.
He did ask his defence to express his deep regret, his remorse, his sorrow for his actions. How did you receive that, Callum?
I think, you know, murderers like this in every trial, you know, I think they do that at the end of every trial just to try and soften things, but it doesn't work, you know. Like the fact that he had to get his defence to say it and he couldn't say it himself, you know, it just goes to show.
Mm-hmm. How do you want your sister to be remembered?
I want her to be remembered for, you know, who she was. And I know she struggled with addiction, of course, but, you know, that's everyone's lifestyle choice. But, you know, just for who she was and an amazing sister, a mother, daughter she was, the only daughter of my mother.
Well, Callum, I want to thank you for talking to us. And again, my deepest sympathies to you, to those two little boys and to your mother and the rest of the family as well on the loss of your sister, Dana.
Thank you very much, Claire.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.